everyone. I'm so happy you've tuned into the show. Whether you have listened before or you're brand new, I'm so grateful for you. You have no idea. And this episode is brought to you by my Become Aligned course. And podcasts are amazing. And I know that you know that because you guys all listen to them. And I do too. And sometimes they are not necessarily enough because while we're listening, sometimes we're passively listening and we're not actively listening. So the reason that Chris is my husband, the reason we've created this course is because we get asked so many questions outside of the podcast on how we started living the life that we live now, a life of happiness, of abundance, of really understanding that life is always full of problems every single day, but there's always a solution. And how do we shift back into a mindset that's going to keep us happy, keep us together, keep us successful, and keep us in thriving relationships? And that is what our Become Aligned course is about. You guys, we cover everything from mindset to the rituals that we do every single day. We talk about different energy sources that's really going to provide you with lasting energy. We talk about your purpose and what that actually means, what it is, and how it's ever changing. We're going to tap into your beliefs. We're going to show you how to build a tribe to support where you're going. And we're definitely going to talk about wealth, abundance, money, all of the good things, and how to sustain all of this. Because while, like I said, podcasts are absolutely awesome, you don't necessarily sit down and actually write out a plan for yourself. Because as much as I can sit here and tell you on the podcast what we do and how many different people that I can interview, it's important that you actually learn how to apply these things in your own life. So if you've been listening for a while and you are ready to go deeper and you really want to get some direct training and be able to dive into your life and yourself and your mindset, this is the course for you. I don't know about you, but I absolutely have points in my life where I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I hit walls where I don't necessarily feel happy anymore. And I haven't sat with myself long enough. I haven't really let myself think. I haven't written out how I actually feel. And so many people who took this course said that it was completely life-changing. And they revealed a lot of things about themselves, about their lives, about their relationships that they weren't really looking at or they were avoiding. And it's about having those tough conversations, not only with other people, but really with yourself and knowing that you have the tools and the access to the tools. And we're going to teach you all of the tools that you need, not only to move through things, but to actually thrive on the other side. So you guys, I would love for you to join the Aligned community. It's such a special group of human beings. And you get lifetime access. This is 9 different modules where you're going to be working through each area of your life at your own pace. So you might need something on abundance. You might need more on, you know, money. You might need more on your purpose, on your tribe. This is where you can really go deep on exactly what you need and make sure that you're not missing any of your blind spots. If you are feeling stuck or if you are wondering how everyone is doing it and how they're managing it all, this is a truly honest course about how to have a thriving life and manage and deal with all of the different problems that do come up in your life and understand that not everyone is going to support you and not everyone is for you and you are not for everyone. And that's okay. It's finding your people. It's forgiving yourself. It's creating a life of abundance and choosing your own purpose and your happiness. So you guys, you can go to becomealigned.com. That's becomealigned.com. And you guys know that because you're listeners, I'm going to give you an awesome deal and an awesome discount. And I cannot wait to see you in that community. And also let me know if you join because it is such an awesome, awesome community. And also I'm really proud of this course. Chris and I poured our heart and our soul into this. Everything that we've done, everything that we've learned, we've invested so much into ourselves that this is everything that we have applied in our lives. And if you want to know how we've done it, we put it all on the table. We've put it all in this course. So if you want to know, go check it out at becomealigned.com. So let's get into the show.
I wish more people would talk about online bullying, you know, mental illness and all that stuff, especially with women and teenagers and stuff like that, because we've all gone through it, but it doesn't have to define you. Mm-hmm. You can be successful out of it, and it can actually be like the thing that makes you successful.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. And I have a super awesome experience to share with you guys. And it is definitely the part of this podcast that is so exciting. I don't often get to go and travel on the road and do this podcast, but I got to go down to the Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles during Monday Night Raw and have this interview at WWE. So this is a bit outside of the norm for this podcast. I have interviewed former WWE divas and have freaking loved it. And this was no different. I had the most fun time interviewing all of the women on this day. And this woman in particular is such a light. She's so brilliant. She is such a firecracker. And I love hearing that the basic mindset and principles are the same exact across the board, no matter what your dream is. I don't care if you want to start a business. I don't care if you want to be an entrepreneur. I don't care if you want to be a WWE superstar. It is all the same mindset and belief in yourself and connection to other people and celebration of each other. So today, my interview is with Alexa Bliss. Don't you just love that last? Are you kidding me? Alexa Bliss. I was like, how aligned is this? She is a driven competitor. She has been her entire life, participating in softball, track, kickboxing since her youth, excelling especially in gymnastics and eventually becoming a Division I cheerleader. She even entered the world of competitive bodybuilding, where she became one of the youngest competitors to receive her IFBB professional status, which her and I had so much in common with talking about this. So it was a lot of fun to hear about that journey as well. She has such an incredible athletic background that it's no wonder that she quickly became one of Next's most dangerous superstars. Although she never captured the women's title, she was a constant threat, pushing the likes of many of the women in there. You guys, this woman is such a powerhouse and just the sweetest heart. Like when I got to sit with her, she was just humble. She was excited to do the interview. And I also knew she was back to back to back to back that day, but she was so present with me. And I also know that that's a huge reason that she's so successful, is that she is just in the moment, even though I'm sure her life and mind is spinning sometimes. And you'll hear that a lot with this interview, is so much of their life is on the road. And how do you manage all that? So I can't wait for this to get started, because I just think the wisdom within this can be applied to all of our lives. So here we go. Lexi, I'm so excited to be sitting down chatting with you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm so excited to be here. It was so much fun. I was telling Natalia, because when I was pulling in, people thought I was like a wrestler, so they were yelling.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ah! I was like, this is so cool.
You're in good shape. You're blonde, like, so of course.
So yeah, I'm really, really excited to be here. But I would love to know, what in your life got you to this moment? Like, what was there's probably many transformational moments or like things that you can go back to, but is there one thing that either planted the seed of this dream Like, was it something that you saw on TV? Was it someone you talked to? Or were there a few things that...
You know, I'd watched WWE growing up. And so I was a fan, you know, growing up. My family would get together every Monday night. We'd order pizza. We'd watch Raw. It was just the thing that we did. And
You grew up watching this?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have brothers or anything?
I had cousins.
Okay.
They would always pretend to be the Hardy Boys. And we had like a little inflatable pool that had no water in it. And they used it as like their ring. And I was always the one that was like, no, don't hit me. Like, and then I was the one that became a wrestler. So my cousins and my family all watched it. And then after college, I competed in bodybuilding.
Okay.
Well, I did bikini division. Mm-hmm. I competed because I was trying to find a healthy way of getting over my eating disorders.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I got into fitness. And my trainer at the time, his name's Mike Davies, he told me, hey, WWE is having a tryout, I heard. Uh-huh. And he knew I was a fan, so he was like, hey, I don't know if this is like in your realm, if it's something you want to try, but I heard they're having a tryout. And he just mentioned it in passing, and I was like, oh. So I went on later that day. It was after a boot camp. I went to WWE.com, and there was a link, and it said, do you want to be a WWE superstar? And I said, yes, I do. So I clicked on it, made a video. It's this god-awful video of me in my posing suit, in my clear heels, being like, this is why I should be a WWE superstar. And I recently saw that video. It's tragic. And I sent it in, didn't think anything would come of it. I got a casting call after that. I was flown to LA for a day, was given an interview. And after that, I was signed. And they were like, let's just hope you're as athletic as you look. And so it was a very lucky situation. Because I know a lot of people have, you know, indie background in wrestling and have had multiple trials, like 4, 5, 6, 7 trials before they make it. And I just kind of fell into it, luckily. But it was something that I pursued to fall into, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think the whole part about it was easy, probably because your fitness journey was probably somewhat challenging
as well. Yes, very challenging.
So there's so much that people could look at and say, oh, that happened right away, except you were prepping.
Yes.
Basically for this through fitness for a long time. So what was that fitness journey like? Why did you, I know you said that you got into it because you were getting over an eating disorder, but what did that even look like? Like when did you?
So I've grown up my whole life as a gymnast and all-star cheerleader.
Okay. And where are you from again?
Ohio.
Columbus, oh, awesome. Ohio. Okay.
Yeah.
I lived in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Upper Michigan.
Oh, okay. So very totally cool. Yeah. So you know the whole
Midwest. Thrill.
Yes. So I competed my whole life. You know, I competed in the Arnold since I was 5.
Yes.
Because I did gymnastics at the Arnold, cheerleading at the Arnold, and then transitioned into bodybuilding. And so, you know, working out has always been a thing in my life. But then when I was in high school, I got very, very sick. And I developed an eating disorder. And I lost a whole bunch of weight. Lost like 30 pounds in like 5 weeks. Hospitalized. So then I started, when I got out of the hospital, I started training with my trainer, Natalie. And I'd been training with her since I was very, very young, since I was 14. Because my parents' friends were bodybuilders, and we used to go to bodybuilding shows. And I remember thinking, I want to do that because I'd watch the fitness division.
Okay.
Where they would tumble and the routine.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. And I was a gymnast. Yes. So I was like, this is what I want to do. And so after I trained with Natalie for a few years, I went to college. When I went to college, I did college cheer. When I did college cheer, they had us doing bod pods. And I know coming from the bodybuilding world, you know what a bod pod, like sit in it, measures your body fat percentage, and they would like post them. So, and I remember specifically having a conversation with my coach saying, hey, you know, I just gotten over anorexia. I don't feel comfortable doing
this. Yeah, you don't want to look at numbers.
Yes. And so, but she had also, I feel like, had an eating disorder at the time because she had told me that she had one in the past. So she kind of understood. But then it was also like, hey, everyone needs to sign in to do cardio 3 days a week or 3 times a day. Everyone needs to do this. Everyone needs to sign in for this. And you had to sign in when you were at the gym. You had to go to the gym. You had to go to practice. It was a thing.
Yeah.
So I remember going back to Ohio or Columbus. I was at a football game. I was in my uniform. I lost a whole bunch of weight again. And I told everyone, I was like, hey, this has been fun, but I need to go home. Packed up as much as I could in my car, drove home to Columbus, admitted myself the next day, and went through the whole process again of the hospitalizations, the therapy, and everything like that. And as soon as I came out of the hospital, my trainer, Natalie and Mike, I had one lifting session with them, and they know I'm competitive. So they were like, okay, so in 6 weeks, you're going to be on stage and you're either going to make an idiot of yourself by starving yourself, or you're going to do well and listen to us. And they're like, the decision is yours if you're going to go on stage and embarrass yourself or not, but you are getting on stage in 6 weeks. And so that kind of triggered the whole motivation of wanting to get better and wanting to eat the food on the diet plan, do the cardio, do the lifting, get healthy. And I remember competing my first show with Natural Ohio. I won first overall, the whole deal, and then I was hooked. I was like, I want to do this. And so I competed for a few years, went pro. And it was very difficult because I was, at the time, I was maybe 18, 19, competing against women are 26, 27.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's usually a sport you get into in your later 20s.
Yes, and I had a struggle because I didn't have the muscle maturity, just naturally. I didn't have that muscle maturity that a 26, 27, 28-year-old woman has. And so it was very hard to compete pro. And I remember after WWE signed me, I'd competed with Arnold for the last time. And I was just like, you know what? This is going to be fun. Like, I went out, just did my thing and bowed out. I was like, this has been great. But yeah, like, definitely it's something. WWE, I take it as something that, you know, I trained for my entire life because I've been in athletics since I was 5 years old.
So I find it so interesting coming from a fitness background as well. Like, there's a drive of, there's this line of, like, being driven in a really positive way. And I think all of us have this in us, to be honest. Being driven in a positive way where it can turn dark.
Very quickly.
Really, really quickly.
Yes.
So, and I know that I've dealt with that my whole life, like trying to keep the motivation and drive of, like, you know, wanting to achieve something, but not have it be so much coming from the place of, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, or I'm not going to be seen, or like trying to keep that in perspective of balancing life with needing to achieve. So are you still, do you feel like you're still in that dance? And how do you find when you're going to the extreme end? Because I'm sure it's so easy, especially with you're in the forefront all the time. Like, how do you kind of reel it back when you feel yourself going into the extremes again? Because so many people relate to this. This is one of the biggest topics.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm definitely an extreme personality. I am either all in or all out. And that's just how I've always been. And especially after, you know, going through the body image issues, going through everything, the depression, like every kind of, you know, mental thing that you can, you just have to know your boundaries and know, you know, now, like, I purposely, like, I know my boundaries. Like, I know if I get a little too lean, I'll purposely go and order pizza. And because I know that at the end of the day, like, I'm going to feel good after I do that. And I just, I make myself get out of that negative place. And especially, you know, here it's hard because we travel 300 days a year. We're away from our families. We're away from our friends. Like, we don't see them. So it, you can get into that, that kind of mopey mentality quickly. So you kind of have to, you know how to get yourself out of it. And, you know, it's.
So what do? Do you talk to people? Do you, like, what are the main things for your mental health that you do?
Well, I love watching Netflix. I call my friends, you know, I call my mom. Like, my mom lives down the street. I have a whole bunch of animals. I have three dogs and a pig.
What kind of dogs?
I have a Maltese, a Chihuahua, and a Yorkie, and a pig.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yes. But he thinks he's a dog because he's been raised around dogs his whole life.
I've heard that. We have some pigs in our neighborhood. I live in LA.
Oh, there you go.
Like, okay, there's a massive pig getting walked right now.
Yeah.
With popcorn.
Yeah.
It's the only it's way great. To walk.
Oh, my pig likes Cheerios.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They probably like a lot of anything, huh?
My pig's very picky eater.
Really?
He only eats carrots, spinach, and pineapple and Cheerios.
That is insane.
He won't eat anything else. He's very picky. I was like, I thought pigs are supposed to eat everything. But he just,
that's what
he's picky. He's like, no.
Picky pig.
Yeah. Very picky pig. He's a diva.
So for you, what do you wish more people asked you? What's a question that you wish more people asked you that you don't think people know about you?
I don't know. Well, mostly, like, when people ask me stuff, it's always about, like, wrestling. And which is fine because that's what we're known for. I guess, I don't know.
Are there things that you would love for people to know about you that you don't typically share, or do you feel like you share a lot?
I share a lot.
Yeah. That's what the other ladies are saying. We are an open book.
That's the thing because, you know, with WWE and our characters and,
yeah.
you know, with how much we do like community outreach and how much we do like Be a Star programs mm-hmm. and everything like that. So we're kind of expected to lay it all out there.
Yeah.
Should be like, because someone somewhere will relate to something you've gone through.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, we're all highly accessible and very much an open book. I don't think yeah. there's anything anyone doesn't know about me. That's, I think that's the, it's the, it's good and it's bad.
Yeah. What's the good and what's the bad?
The good is, you know, people know us in and out of character
mm-hmm.
and they can relate to us in and out of character in any way. Like my character on TV, I'm completely opposite on TV as I am in real life.
Mm.
Like my character is the biggest just B word you'll ever meet. It's that girl from high school, you know, that yeah. everyone secretly hates, but will still follow them on Twitter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or Facebook them, something.
Totally.
And myself as a person, I've always been very, you know, shy in a sense where I'm very like extroverted, introverted.
Okay.
Like if it's like one-on-one,
totally.
I can talk your ear off. Insert yeah. a third person, I'm the quietest one in the room.
Really?
Like I just get real awkward and yeah. quiet and just like,
Where do you think that came from? Do you know?
I don't know.
Mm.
I've heard it's a thing though.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a thing. So I was like, so I'm not the only weird one around here.
No. I don't think anything's weird.
But yeah, and I guess the bad is everyone knows everything about you.
Yeah.
Literally, you can't do or sneeze without people knowing. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and especially because like, on social media, everything gets blown out of proportion all
yeah.
the time. I mean, luckily, I've never been like a victim to any of that stuff. But like, even just like seeing stuff that people like write about you and they're, you're just like, you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know me as a person. Like, especially on social media, we show you everything about our lives, but we also only show you what we want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just like, I guess that's the bad of it.
It's so interesting. So this relates so much to everything that most women ask. Most women who are listening to this either want to, they have a business or they're an entrepreneur or they're, you know, a public speaker, or they're really getting, wanting to write a book or they have already written books, things like that, like really putting themselves out there. How do you kind of keep a safe boundary for yourself mentally when you're really out there? Because I think now with anything, it's required to be really out there.
Yes. Especially, you know, there's people on Instagram that like film their entire lives.
Yes, totally.
Every day. Hair and makeup ready, which kudos because when I'm at home, my hair is in a messy yeah. bun. I don't leave the house. I Uber Eats. I watch Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not leave my couch.
Yeah.
And I sit with my animals. And that's kind of what I do. Like, when I'm home, nothing is work related. There's no speaking of wrestling. There's no speaking of work. There's no speaking of anything that's not positive energy.
So that's a huge boundary right
yes.
there. Yeah. So do you turn your phone off or what do you do?
Oh, girl, I can't turn my phone off.
Okay. No, but everything else.
I can't turn my phone off because I'm addicted to Pinterest. I'm
okay.
always like on Pinterest and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like that kind of for me, I learned that like from John Cena. John
mm-hmm.
Cena came and talked to us when we were in NXT and he was saying, when you're not home, disconnect.
Because
someone said, what's the secret of longevity? And
yeah.
he said, disconnecting.
Because
sometimes you can become so wrapped up in what you're doing or what you're focusing on that you become so obsessed with it that sometimes you need to step back because if you're not seeing it from a clear angle when you're always in it.
Yeah.
So for example, you know, when I was injured, I was out with a couple concussions and I saw my work and I was like, you see it from a perspective and you're like, oh, I can really improve on that. But when
yeah.
I was in it, you don't see it.
Yes.
And so I think it's healthy to make that boundary and to kind of step out of it and do things that you enjoy. Because if you're so wrapped up in it, you're not going to enjoy what you do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to become work. So
mm-hmm.
if you don't separate yourself, like now, like this isn't work. It's
mm-hmm.
fun. And
mm-hmm.
because I was able to step out of it
mm-hmm.
and create that boundary in a healthy way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most challenging thing about what you do in this industry every day?
I'd say the travel.
Yeah.
I've been home one day this whole month,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's the hardest part. And I'm really like OCD and like germophobic too. So like not being able to do my laundry all the time, that really
yeah.
gets me. I'm
uh-huh.
always just like, oh. So I always make sure I book somewhere that I,
yeah.
before I book a hotel, I make sure they have guest laundry. I'm like,
that's
looking.
Hilarious.
It's like a thing. Yeah, I'd say the travel. I'd say that's the hardest thing. Like for this week example, you know, we've had 7 a.m. flights every day. So I've been up the last 5 days at 4 a.m. every morning flying in and then, you know, having full days. And then tomorrow we're going to go to Ontario and then fly out straight from Ontario to Tampa
mm.
to a commercial to pay-per-view to Japan. So
wow.
it's just like you're constantly on the go. That's why I always say I live on a caffeine and concealer.
Yeah.
If I ever write a book, that's going to be that's the title, yeah. Caffeine and Concealer.
So how do you, because especially coming from fitness background or eating disorder or anything like that, and I think just being a human in general, like we want to attempt to have control in our lives.
Yes.
And I know that travel's the number one thing that can make you feel like you're out of control.
Absolutely.
So how do you find, and this answer can be translated for anybody listening, even if you don't travel, because it can be related to when your life feels out of control. When your kids, yeah. You know, you can't plan for your kids or you can't plan for certain things at work, or you're not in control of different things that are happening within your business or whatever that looks like. So how do you either find like that calm or that peace when things just feel out of control? And how do you create ritual amongst no control?
It is so crazy that you said that, because there's times I can feel my life getting out of control.
Yes.
Mainly because whenever I feel my life getting out of control, I always have tornado dreams.
Interesting.
Every time.
Like actual tornadoes.
Like dreams about tornadoes.
Crazy.
And I've looked into it, and it's like you dream about stuff like storms or anything like that when you feel like your life is out of control.
Uh-huh.
Like you can't control the situation.
Yeah.
So whenever I start to like even have it's the weirdest thing. Like I just, my body knows when things are out of control.
Mm.
So like I like have a whole bunch of like meditation apps on my phone. I'll read a book, something that, you know, you can take your own pace. Like, and especially like travel. I've been in literally every travel situation that now I feel like even if travel is out of control, everything ends up working out.
Mm.
For example, like last UK tour we had, we missed our connection because the connection was booked too close.
Mm.
We landed, we had a 30-minute layover to go through customs, recheck our bags. Wasn't going to happen. As soon as we got off the plane, the person asked for our boarding pass and they laughed at us.
Oh,
they were like, yeah, you're not making this.
Yeah.
Our bags were lost for 4 days. We were on a 2-week tour. Bags were lost for 4 days. We went to go shopping. Somehow my wallet got left in the Uber.
Oh,
and
God.
In Spain, you can't contact the Uber.
No.
No one would help us. No one would do anything. Finally, this one woman walks by, just happens to stop and ask me if I was okay. And I was like, no, like I'm freaking out. My wallet's gone. It had my passport, my everything.
Yeah.
Gone. And she was just like, oh. She spoke English, like one of the very few people that did it. And she was like, oh, my friend works for Uber. Let me just see what's going on.
That's so crazy.
Calls, mm-hmm. like, speaks to whoever she could. And they're like, oh, is it a black studded whatever, whatever? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we'll find that driver, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's still in the area. Somehow, like, this whole mm-hmm. situation happened. So I always feel like, especially when it comes to travel, if I can handle the worst situation possible,
mm-hmm.
like Murphy's Law,
yeah,
I can handle anything.
Oh,
and
my God,
that's kind of like one of those things, like you have to go through those out of control situations to know that you can be perfectly fine in the smaller out of control situations. Like you said, like travel stuff or just little things that happen. I mean, kids are a big situation, but you know, sometimes you just don't plan for that stuff. But you kind of have to take it day by day and understand that things always work out how they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's good or bad, it's going to work out how it's supposed to.
Mm. So is that like a core belief that you hold in your life? Just
yes.
like it will, even when it feels crazy, or like, I'm just waiting this storm out.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's, my friend told me that. She was just like, no matter what happens, she goes, everything's going to sort itself out in the way it's going to. She goes, doesn't matter what you do, how you try to control it, it's going to happen how it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know what? You're right.
I think that's such a big part of successful people's mentality is that's truly like, if that's a core belief that it will always work out, it will make you stay in the storm instead mm-hmm. of retreating.
Exactly.
Like, instead of being like, whoa, this is too much, or this is, you know, something that they can't handle, but you don't know if you can handle it till you know if you can handle it.
Yes. until you go through it. You have to do it.
And there's no real graceful way of, I think there is later, but there's no real graceful way of handling it the first time. Like, did you have a meltdown the first few times that it happened? Like,
with
oh my
like
God.
Travel
with,
stuff?
Yeah, just
absolutely
with things falling apart. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's a part of it.
My biggest thing is getting lost.
Yeah.
I hate getting lost. And one time I remember I'm just like crying and like, because my phone like stopped working and I'm like
where
in Arizona.
You? Oh, in Arizona.
And I had no idea where I was at. Mm-hmm. And like, I somehow was able to call my mom from my iPad because I was able to connect to McDonald's Wi-Fi. And I call my mom and I was like, can you direct me to the nearest AT&T? And bless her heart, she goes, so you're going to go southwest on this street? And I was
God.
I was like, mom, what
where
did you look
southwest?
Up? And she went, I went on MapQuest. And I was like, it's 2019. No one's using MapQuest.
Yes.
So I was like, please put it in your phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm at this intersection at this. And I was like, northeast, southeast, west. That doesn't do anything for me. I was like, I need left to right, straight and forward.
That's exactly
like,
how
backwards. I just remember I was just like, Lord, and I cried. I was crying so hard. And then like eventually I found it and everything worked out. And then I was like, I was a little dramatic over nothing. You know what I mean? So you have to like, you have to like notice when you're being a little too extra and kind of like tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. Totally. So what's something right now that you feel in your life besides travel that maybe you're struggling with either mentally or something with what you want to do or where you want to go, or maybe a door is not opening? What's something that you feel like you're in right now?
For me right now, it's the scheduling of work, to be honest, because I haven't been home in a month and it's very hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, especially because here everything happens so last minute. So I was finally supposed to go home last week and I was sent to, well, 2 weeks ago, I was sent to Pittsburgh. I was supposed to go home and it was my best friend. She was coming down with her baby and she's been my best friend forever. We booked this vacation for her a year ago and she's only in Florida for 3 days. I was in charge of the baby's first birthday party. And just with how scheduling worked out, like I was added on stuff to go to Pittsburgh for these 2 out of the 3 days. And I was just like, it's out of my control. And I'm like, if I don't get home, like I don't see them for another year. And like, I'm in charge of the first birthday party. And it's just like, it's those things that you kind of have to realize that you have to make a decision. Like what's important. And so I made a decision that I needed to go home and I needed to spend my time with my friends and her baby. And so I knew you can't get that moment back. There's some things in life you just can't get back and work's always going to be there. And right now for me, it's just the scheduling because I was supposed to go home for the first time and then I got added to another appearance. So then I had to go to Austin, come straight back on the road. And I'm just like, it's just, it's almost like, and every day that I have is like super busy. Like today, for example, I was like accidentally triple booked on appearances before the show starts. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's finding a rhythm and just going with it. Yeah. And so for me right now in life, it's scheduling, which is very, normally I'm very schedule oriented. And when that schedule gets thrown off, I get very overwhelmed. And I think with that, like, it's just like, you know what, right now you do the work and you can reap the benefits later and decide what you want to do then. But right now it's time to be on the grind and to get it done, and rest will come after.
So many important things there. I think people forget that when you are trying to reach a dream or you are working for something, there's like that, I call it like the atmosphere point where you have to break through the atmosphere and like your rocket has to be like in full throttle. And sometimes you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And it's like, what keeps you going in those moments where it's like, you don't think there's anything left?
For me, I honestly can't look at the end goal. I can't look, because if I'm like, cool, I'll reach this and like, we have a pay-per-view coming up, I'll reach that pay-per-view in X amount of weeks. I have to take everything day by day. Because if I'm looking at that, I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing, you know, day by day, especially because that seems so far away.
Yeah.
And I will lose my drive and I'll lose the motivation to keep going at my best. So you have to take it day by day, because if not, you get overwhelmed.
Today, like when you wake up, what's the mentality that, because it's really easy to go out.
Right.
How do you get back into your body and into the present moment and be like, what's today? Like, how do you be your best today?
Honestly, I just kind of look at today as a whole and then break it down into sections.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, so I have, before the show starts, I have 3 things I need to do. And then I just take each one. Because if I were to look at today as a whole, I'd be like, this is not going to happen.
I'm done.
I'm actually not showing up. I said that to myself on the plane. I was like, maybe I just don't show up.
What would happen?
Do I really need my job? No. So like,
I'm so done. I'm like, maybe. Oh, no.
That's the thing. Like people, and I've seen little like memes of that. People are like, when you really debate how much you need your job. Like that was me this morning. I was like, today, I was like, I'm just not going. I'll physically be there, but mentally I'm not going. You just have to take it. You have to break it down into where you can control it and you can absorb everything. And that's kind of how I do everything. Like, especially, you know, during our live shows, we'll have like 3 or 4 live shots to do. And instead of looking like, oh my God, I have 3 or 4 live shots, you go, okay, so what's the first one? Here it is. This is what you're doing. This is how I feel about it. And this is how I'm going to do it. cool. Don't even think of the rest of the stuff yet. Finish that one task and then move on to the next one and then the next one. And then by the time you're done, you're less overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It all went well because you're focusing on the one bit at a time instead of one piece at a time instead of the whole big picture. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I have to handle a lot of my day-by-day stuff, especially because like with how much we travel and how much we do, it's like, oh my God, today's overwhelming. But then you go, if you take it step by step, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. Out of all of the interviews I've done with crazy busy people or people who are chasing their dream, that's literally what it comes back to. They're like, it has to be moment to moment or we implode.
Yeah.
That's why, I'll talk to some women who are just like, I'm so anxious. I'm so freaked out. I'm like, where are you thinking right now?
And yeah.
Like, I'm thinking 6 months from now. I'm like, holy shit. Like, you need to back
it up. I don't even know what 6 months from now looks
right,
like.
Yeah, exactly. So, for you, what is something that really makes you happy and gets present on the daily? Like, what's something that do you find happiness every single day that you can? And I get that some days aren't like that. But is there things that drop you into being present and make you either grateful or?
I like kind of just people watching.
Yeah. Yeah. What
to be honest,
what does that mean to you, like people watching?
You know, when you look around, like I get a lot of motivation from other people, whether it's motivation for work, motivation for personal life. And I like just like looking around other people and seeing how they live their lives. Mm-hmm. And it kind of grounds you for a second and realizes like, yes, what we do is very overwhelming, but what we do is really freaking cool. Mm-hmm. And it impacts a lot of people and in a positive way. And if we weren't doing what we do, we wouldn't be an escape for other people. Mm. And sometimes we need an escape from our escape, but I just like to people watch it and I like to, you know, get in contact with my friends and stuff that makes you grounded and stuff that makes you really appreciate what you're doing. And then you realize like this stuff isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And like, that's why I love my job and love what I do because it is crazy, but we wouldn't do it if we didn't love it. Mm-hmm. And we love the reaction and interaction we get with people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like Natty and I just went to Saudi Arabia and we got to visit with kids in the hospital and the fact that they knew who we were was incredible.
Mm.
And we were an escape for them just for a couple minutes and just to be able to take people out of their current situations is just, it's crazy to know that we do that.
Mm. So you get into like deep gratitude for what your impact is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you hope when people, like when teenage girls look at you, what do you hope that they get from it? Get from just even the way you live your life or how you followed your dreams?
Honestly, I feel like when I was going through like my depression and my eating disorders and everything like that, I didn't have anyone to look to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I was hospitalized, like I was hooked up to a heart monitor, freaking IVs, tubes, like everything. Soccer players came in and visited me.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, you don't know what I'm going through. You know what I mean? And I feel like women are like that in general. We're always like, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't get it. But that's just how I was. I was like, you don't get what I'm going through. Mm. But I've been there and I've been through, you know, a lot of stuff. And like, and I feel like I hope teenagers, whether it's boys or girls, I hope they see that you like when they feel less confident about themselves due to other people. For example, like if someone else is causing them to feel worse about themselves or anything like that. Like no one can determine your self-worth but you. And so I kind of hope that they see me as that person that I needed growing up. Because I needed someone to be like, hey, you're going to go through this and you're going to go through it a lot, but it's not going to define you. And you're going to be successful out of it. You're going to be happy some days. You're going to be really sad some days, but that's just life. And I think people, one thing I've wish we would be more open about with, you know, teenagers and stuff like that, especially with online bullying and stuff like that. We get it too.
Yes, totally.
And we are just as successful, even though we go through it too. Because I remember when I was in high school, like people would write on my MySpace.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, the world is ending. You know what I mean? Like I am just so worthless and this, that, and the other. But we go through it too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's something that we can connect with people, and that's why we have Be a Star and all that stuff. And it's because it's not the end of the world. And I wish more people would talk about online bullying, you know, mental illness and all that stuff, especially with women and teenagers and stuff like that, because we've all gone through it, but it doesn't have to define you.
Mm-hmm.
You can be successful out of it. And it can actually be like the thing that makes you successful.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I think that one of, honestly, it's something that I really struggle with because I see it every day in what we do. Like, just someone leaving crappy comments all the time or in your DMs or whatever that looks like. And it's just a part of it. Like,
yeah.
It's literally all a part of it. But how does somebody who, because I think women are fairly sensitive and we want people to like us. I think that's every human. So how do you kind of block that out?
Honestly, I just kind of laugh at it because, you know,
how did you get to that point though of laughing?
At first, I was never like that, you know, because you'll scroll through comments and comments and you'll see all these positives.
Yes.
And then you'll see that one negative and then you'll focus on that one negative and then all the positives don't mean anything. I kind of just, the way I was able to kind of separate from that was just to realize that, you know, I'm much more than what I'm posting.
Yes.
And I only show you what I want you to see.
Mm.
And the fact that you're judging what I'm giving you, that's kind of laughable.
Mm.
Because, like, you're just like, come on, man. Like,
there's so much context that any normal person would understand. There's so much context that you can't write about.
Yes. And it's just, people are just so quick to judge. And, you know, I've always been a big advocate about, like, social media could be, like, the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. It just depends on how you do it. And, oh, like, God, I remember... Like, a girl I knew in high school, her younger brother killed himself because of online bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things that people, it gives people this way of saying things, hurtful things and harassment with no consequences. And I feel like that's just, if you have to go out of your way to say something mean on my stuff, what is going on in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like, if that comment made you feel better about yourself, cool, dude. Like, sorry, but, you know, I'm still going to be out here living my best life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how you kind of have to look at it. You kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, it took a while to get to that point, but you kind of have to realize that with every 100 comments, there's going to be a negative, but there's also 99 positive ones that you actually have to read and have to look into. And because we're so quick to just swipe through the positives and they're like, oh, this person said my hair looked bad or something. You know what I mean? And so you have to just take everything with a grain of salt and realize it's not real.
It's so not real. I have to literally every day, I'm just like, this is not real life. This box is not real life.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's not real.
And sometimes you don't realize that until you get off of it for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I have time where I'm just like, get this phone away from me. I can literally feel everybody on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then there's so many times where I'm on Instagram and I'm like, how is everyone living their best life like this? You know what I mean? Everyone has a professional photographer with them. Like, everyone's going on trips. And, like, I always love seeing those little, like, memes of, like, people when they're, like, holding, like a picture. And they're like, it looks like they're in front of a mountain and it's really a picture frame. Like, I love that kind of stuff because it's so true. It's like, we show you what we want you to see. And you kind of have to realize that you're more than that. And so if someone comments on the little bit of their life that you let them see, like, you don't have time for them.
I love that you say that about, you have to realize that you're more than that, because I can trace back to just different points in my life where I've had to let go of identities outside of something. Like, when I decided not to be in the fitness world anymore, it was like, I had to realize I was so much more than my body.
Yes.
Otherwise, I was like losing my mind for real for like a year afterward, because if I wasn't getting recognized for that, I didn't yet put value in other things in myself, because it was the first time I really got attention or achievement. So especially for someone like you or for different women who really start to get attention for one, like kind of like one
thing.
Area of your life. And yet your personality, while you are you, you're also playing a different character right out there. So how do you make sure that you're kind of like investing in other parts of you so that when this is done or you've moved on from it, that you are still valuing who you are?
You know, I've always had, I don't like to, so I have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, but I don't like to focus on those only because if I'm focusing on plan B, I'm taking away from plan A mentally. But, you know, I went to school for dietetics. And so I know if I wanted to, I could do stuff with dietary stuff and dietitian. And, you know, that's my true passion of what I really want to do eventually after WWE is I want to open up like a halfway house for people with eating disorders and mental disorders. Because I remember like when I was going through it, you were either hospitalized or completely outpatient.
Oh, yeah.
There was no happy medium. And I want somewhere where people can just come and kind of be a halfway point because that's what I needed.
Mm.
And if I can just like help impact in that kind of sense, that's kind of like really what I want to focus on, because I'm not like I'm not super fashionable. I mean, I'm wearing yoga pants and a sweatshirt.
You look great.
I've been on the road for 3 weeks. I haven't had time to do laundry. Sorry. But like, you know what I mean? Like people are like, oh, I want to start a fashion line. I just want to be kind of like, I just want to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love acting. So maybe that's mm-hmm. something I would try to pursue one day.
Yeah.
But I think I just want to use this platform to show, you know, be that something for someone, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I have one last question for you. When you're about to die, we're going there.
Oh, okay.
So when you're about to die, you literally can only leave one message and it's on a billboard. So only enough room that people could read on a billboard. And it's one message about life in general that you have learned, that you've kind of categorized up. And it's not in the future. It's literally just say right now, what's a message that you would leave with people? It's the only message that you could possibly leave behind.
It sounds cheesy, but I would say put happiness first.
Mm.
Because I've been in a lot of situations, whether it's relationships or working stuff, where if you don't put your happiness first, nothing else in life goes right.
Mm.
Because if you're happy, it changes the whole world around you. But if you're not, it negatively changes the whole world around you. So I would say put your happiness first, 100%.
Well, there's your billboard.
Yeah, there's my billboard.
Well, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much
for your time.
I loved it. I love getting to know you. I feel like there's a million other things I could ask you, but we're just going to have to stop there. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.